Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more and again, Wednesday night inspirational, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's a privilege, it's an honor to come before you with Wednesday night Bible study. I want you to realize that I do not take this opportunity lightly. And it's because of the grace of God that we are able to come together on Wednesday night to fellowship one with another and to explore the Word of God together. It is a wonderful thing. And I want you to know that this is not no accident, that all of you decides to call Wednesday after Wednesday to hear what God has to say to his people. I am privileged and honored. I realize that it's not because I'm so good. I realize that I haven't done all that I should. But you see, God sees fit to do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, with who he wants. Because he's God. And as always, you know, I'm glad that we are here again on Wednesday night, and I pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful week. I just want you to know that at the end of the broadcast, if anyone would like to say something, make comments, if they want to pray, ask for a prayer request, give a determination or even a praise report, you must press the one button on your phone, and I will open a mic and you will come, you know, your voice will come through the studio and go through the airwaves and everyone can hear you. I also want you to know that I cannot hear anything that's going on in your home or your surroundings unless you press the one button and I open a mic. So sit back and be comfortable in your own home and we're going to explore the Word together. Our lesson tonight, for those who have your Bibles or those who need to get your Bible, is coming from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse. And the title of our study tonight is No Pain, No Gain. I had the privilege on last Saturday to bring this teaching to a conference that was held at Greater Liberty Baptist Church. And I saw that it was a great topic and it had great meaning. And as I learned and understood the things that I was saying, because you see, the Holy Ghost is going to give illumination and revelation. So even after the message had went forth, me, myself, began to learn and to chew on it. And I found more things to say and I understood what it meant. So I decided to share it with you guys on tonight. Now, there were some people that was there on Saturday, but just sit back. You're gonna get another taste of it. So that's our lesson coming from there. And as always, I ask if anyone would like to pray, press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. I have a caller to press right now. I don't know if they have a comment now or later, but I'm going to open the mic. Caller, whoever, your phone number is 469-688. You can speak now. The mic is open. Call up area code 469-688. Your button was pressed. If you would like to say something, you can say it at this time. Caller whose number is area code 469-688. Well, it could have been pressed by accident. So if anyone would like to pray, you can do it at this time. And since no button is lit, I'll go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Lord, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and to your gates with praise. Heavenly Father, we come in before your throne of grace right now. We're just taking this time to say thank you, realizing that none of this can happen without you. I thank you, dear God, that everyone who was able to return back on this week mean they're still in the land of the living. And because of that, I say thank you. I thank you, God, for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your long suffering. I thank you for your faithfulness, dear God, because there's no other name besides the name of Jesus that we could call on and come to you, because your word said no one can come to the Father unless they go through the Son. And we're going to lean and depend on that, dear God, and I say thank you. Thank you for every caller that called in, dear God, and thank you for the ones that maybe wanted to call in and the ones that forgot to call in. I just say thank you. Heavenly Father, I pray that what goes forth on the night won't return void, and that the Holy Ghost will accomplish what he intended for it to do. And I'm going to give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And I just want you to know that. And right now, I'm going to play a song. We'll come back. We'll get into the lesson. And I have a few shout-outs that's going to go out after the song, and then we're going to start the lesson. But I'm really excited because one of the callers, Mr. Jerry Ott, he and his wife listened on Wednesday, and Mr. Ott has made a record, and they got a copy of the tape to me. So I'm going to play that right now, and that'll be our song for the night because we have to support and we have to see the talents that God is distributing through his people. So we're going to I'm going to play his record right now, and after that we're going to go into the lessons. And that was Mr. Jerry Ott. I mean, all of you guys who've been listening to me for some time know I love participation, and I take it any kind of way I get it. If anyone is interested in that song, you could contact me. The numbers is on the you could ask for me at the end of the program, and I'll give you the information. But I wanted to, I guess it's like a shout-out. There's a grocery store in the lower Ninth Ward across the Industrial Canal. The name of the store is A-N-L, and the owner of the store is Acer. And Acer is a Muslim brother. And Acer and myself have began to have a lot of discussion about the Word of God, even about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we talk about a lot of things, and it came up about the program. And Asa said that he would listen to the program. And I saw him on today, and he said he what he did was he brought his computer, and he hooked it up to speakers, and he's going to let it play in the grocery store on tonight. Now, you tell me what kind of God we serve. That is really a blessing. And to Asa and everybody that's in the store listening, I say God bless you and keep you. And I hope every Wednesday you could come back. And I'm excited that my neighborhood grocery store is on the air with us tonight and supporting the Word of God. Well, here we go into the lesson. The scripture is 2 Peter 3:18. And the scripture reads as follows: But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now, both now and forevermore. Amen. You know, usually before I do a lesson, I always give a background. Don't think I'm leaving it out tonight. It's just intertwined within the lesson. And as we go through the lesson, we're going to get the background on a person, the scripture, the book, like I always do. But I want you to know that this scripture states that we must grow. To grow, which is a process, means to develop and reach maturity. The maturity being talked about tonight is spiritual maturity. Christian growth is necessary in the life of believers. Growth, period, is necessary in the lives of all people, because remember, it is God's intended purpose that we grow to maturity. The scripture now tells us what we should be growing in, and what we should be growing in, the scripture said, is grace. We all know that grace is the unmerited gift from God given freely to all who accept his Son as their Savior by faith. Grace can only be accessed by faith. You can't have grace without faith. When you decide to believe that Jesus is who he said, who God said he is, you believe in it by faith. And when you put your faith and belief in that, you're granted grace. When we accept Jesus Christ, we receive grace. We are not fully grown, but babes in Christ. And as the scriptures say, we could only drink milk. Not yet grown in the knowledge of God and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, which is found in the Word of God, the Holy Bible. You see, but as we study and begin to show ourselves approved, you see, these are some of the things we have to do. This is what everybody who believe have to do. We have to become doers and not just hearers of the word. We have to begin to submit and obey the commands of God. We have to start cooperating with the Holy Ghost and allowing the word to leave our head and penetrate our hearts. You know, a lot of people have a lot of word all in their head. They could quote word. They heard their mama say it. They heard their grandma say it. But how much of that word is penetrating the heart? You see, our goal is to grow wiser and wiser each day and become a mature Christian so that we can eat the meat. You see, the next part of the scripture says, if we do these things, God will get the glory now and forevermore. You see, all glory belongs to God. And there are so many people walking around trying to put emphasis on themselves and get glory as if they, you know, done this or that. All glory belongs to God. It is not ours. It is not ours to have. It is not ours to keep. It's ours and it belongs. It's ours to give. And who we give it to is God, because it belongs to him, because he's worthy of all honor, praise, and glory. You see, when I read this scripture and began to understand what it meant, it made me reflect on the life of Peter, who is the writer of this book. Now, here y'all background come, but I'm just doing it with a little different twist tonight. So catch up, hold on, and listen intently. When I read this scripture and begin to understand what it meant, it made me reflect on the life of Peter, who is the writer of this book. You see, Peter was one of the first followers of Jesus Christ. He was a compassionate disciple, one of Jesus' closest friends. He was an apostle and a pillar of the church. Peter was very, very strong-willed, very impulsive, and very much outspoken. If y'all know anything about Peter, y'all know what I'm talking about. You see, Peter was the one that rebuked Jesus because he just didn't understand. When Jesus said that he would have to suffer and be killed, but in 3 days he would rise again. You see, Peter was the same one that cut the soldier ear off, and he really thought he was right. You see, then one time Peter began to walk on water, but when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he sank. And that same Peter, because of fear, denied Jesus 3 times. You see, and I'm talking about this growing, and that's how Peter did, and that's what Peter did, and that's who Peter was. But as he grew in the grace and the knowledge of God, which is the word of God, it allowed him to look back over his life. Do any of y'all look back over y'all life and see what y'all used to be and realize where y'all at now? Do you realize that it's the word of God and the grace of God that has gotten you to become what you were? When people say the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. It's because of the word of God and God's grace. So as Peter began to grow and he looked back over his life, he saw that when he rebuked Jesus, he was just leaning to his own understanding, and he wasn't paying attention to the will of God. You see, and when he cut the soldier's ear off, at that time when he was reflecting, he realized that battle was not his, but it belonged to the Lord. You see, and when he sank, it was because he took his eyes off of Jesus. Every time we're doing things in our lives and we take our eyes off of Jesus, we can wind up anyway, and most of the time we will sink, stumble, and fall. You see, and when he walked in fear and he denied Jesus 3 times, he now understand that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And he knows that he should have held on to the confession of his faith. How many times we are up against something, we are pushed in a corner and we deny our faith, we compromise our faith for whatever is going on. But you have to hold on to the confession of your faith. You see, but through it all, the Lord who had chosen him before the foundation of the world continued to mold him into exactly who he intended Peter to be. You see, and then Peter started relying and believing in the scripture, because there's a scripture in Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now, once you read that scripture, you should be in a good place, because God is saying, I know the thoughts that I have you, for you. Before the foundation of the world, God thought about you. Before the foundation of the world, God knew everything that would be, and he allowed everything to be. And now he's just working it out together for our good. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? Because if there's no pain, there probably will be no gain. You see, Peter experienced many growing pains, but he continued to grow in grace and the knowledge of God. And now, since it's written in the Word of God, we can look back over his life and we could see his pain. But in the end, we could also see his gain. You see, because Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, our growing pains help us to reach our intended purpose as well. Understanding that it is not our will, but it's God's will. And let me just tell you what happened when you just lean to your own understanding and your will and not trying to do the will of God. You see, our will carries a lot of pain, but in the end, there is no gain. You see, there will be pain and gain in our lives because God is not through with us yet. You see, when Peter wrote this verse, he knew that his life was about to end. And now he was willing to die for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our scripture today is the last verse he ever wrote. And shortly after that, he was crucified. And at the time of his crucifixion, he asked them to turn him upside down because he was not worthy. Come on now, listen to this. He was not worthy to die like Christ. Now, even now, okay, if this is to the end and he's being crucified because all he did for standing up for God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now they're fixing to crucify him, they're going to martyr him because of his belief and his conviction. Even now, after Peter had did a lot of things, he had healed the sick, he had raised the dead, he was inspired to write 2 books in the Bible, and at his death, he still did not feel worthy. You have to realize that growing is a lifetime process. It is not a destination. It is a journey. And please don't think that you have arrived, because that's called self-righteousness. You now believe you have gained and you haven't had the pain. Self-righteousness, feeling within yourself that you are there. You see, he started this scripture with the word but. But when but is used in the beginning of a scripture, it draws attention to itself, and it always reiterates and calls to memories what has already been mentioned. See, that's what I told you tonight. The scripture was, but grow in grace and the knowledge of God. And he started it off with but. And it made me look at that but, and that's how I came up with when but is used in the scripture. It draws attention. When but is used in the beginning of a scripture or a sentence, it draws attention to itself, and it always reiterates and calls to memory what has already been mentioned. And when I realized that, it made me have to go back into the scriptures before I could go forward. You see, in the first chapter of Peter, and at the second Peter, I only have 3 chapters, so I suggest y'all read them. But in the first chapter of second Peter, Peter gave us the good news that God, according to his divine power, has provided all things to live a righteous life. It didn't say that you could earn it. It didn't say that you could provide it. It couldn't say that you could work for it. They say God, according to his divine power, has provided all things necessary to live a righteous life. You see, the power to grow does not come from within, but from God. God allows us to participate in his divine nature. All the provisions are there. There's a scripture in Philippians 2 and 13. See, Peter told us that all of the provision is there. And then Philippians 2 and 13 turn around and say, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasures. God never said it's predicated on what you could do. God say, I am working on you to will and to do my good pleasure. You got to cooperate. You got to believe it to achieve it. And you got to let God have his way. Here we see it's not our job. God has never asked us to do something without first providing the provisions to accomplish it. That provision is grace, which is only accessed by faith. It is the power of God by which he does righteousness through anyone who will yield to him. You see, God is saying, I have set you up for success. Now, how you like that? God is telling us, believe me, I have set you up for success. Success. And then you would say, well, then how God did it? Let's look at it. He said, I inspired my word to be written to give you daily instructions for daily living. I left my spirit, the Holy Ghost, as a deposit, and then I sealed you until Jesus returned so that you would have guidance and a comforter to comfort you in times of life's storms. I gave you my son, full of grace, and believe me, his grace is sufficient. Remember this. God has done his part. But you know, it is said that you could bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. God is providing everything that's necessary for you to reach your intended purpose. But, you know, a lot of people say, I'm saved, and that's enough. But what about growing in grace? And we have to stop using the excuse that no one is perfect. We know no one is perfect, and no one will ever be perfect. But what that have to do with you growing in grace? And then people use, we all fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners saved by grace. Yes, we are. But what that got to do with you growing? We have to stop using that excuse when it's convenient for us and our shortcomings or our disobedience. We have to stop that. And every time you look around and you do certain things, you should always be willing to evaluate your Christian growth. Come on now, how often do you look at yourself and say, how am I doing in my Christian walk? And I guess if you're not saved, you have to ask, what must I do to be saved that I can develop a Christian walk? Are you might think you know, all right, and I'm going to tell you, don't make the mistake of evaluating yourself next to someone else. Because, you know, people have a tendency to say, you know, I'm much better than Mary because Mary still do A, B, and C. And, you know, I don't do A, B, and C, but you got to tell the truth, and you might be doing E, F, and G. But don't use and evaluate yourself up against people. You have to evaluate yourself with the Word of God. You have to let Jesus be your example. That's why God allowed himself to be wrapped up in flesh. He became the incarnated word to walk on the earth to show us how we can and how we should live with one another and doing the things that God has designed for us to do. You see, if you're not inspecting yourself, then you're probably not expecting much of yourself. And I'm going to say that again. If you are not inspecting yourself, then you will probably not be expecting much of yourself. We should all have a spirit of expectancy. You see, your level of expectancy is a mere reflection of your faith. Plenty of people don't expect nothing. They don't even know they have the right to expect. They don't even think about going to God and telling them what you expect from the Word of God and what the Word of God had taught you and what the promises He made in the Word of God. It's our right to inspect it, because if God said it, He's going to perform it. You see, you should all have the spirit of expectancy. To expect the things of God, you must have knowledge of God, which is found in the Word of God. Because how can you expect anything if you don't know what to expect? You see, God created everything in life to grow to maturity, to become full grown, to reach His intended purpose. God has given us certain qualities to ensure our Christian maturity. He has supplied things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, just to name a few. When you accepted Christ and the Holy Ghost came live with you, He brought the fruit. This is called the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the Holy Ghost's job trying to get you to operate fully in all of these areas. But you got to cooperate. You see, when these virtues are increasing in you and you are growing in grace and in the knowledge of God, people should be able to see your fruit. They should be able to see the evidence. You see, nothing that God ever asked us to do, He didn't provide the evidence for us. We're not going on a whim hoping that God can. God has provided evidence. Because you see, plenty of you out there could say, I know He's a burden bearer. You know, I know He's a healer, because if He didn't heal you, He healed somebody you know. See, that's the evidence. You know, I know He shows up in the late midnight hour. I know He has delivered me out the hand of the enemy. That's the evidence. People should be able to see your fruit. Is your light shining so that men can see the good works and glorify the Father? You see, these actions don't come automatically. You have to put in the work, which may cause you some pain. But just hold on and never give up or get weary in doing good, because your blessing is on the way. And this lesson is for everybody, no matter where you are in your walk. Because no matter where you are has nothing to do with where you're going to go, and where you are is still a need to grow. So this message is for everybody. You see, if these qualities are not working in you, you're probably ineffective and unfruitful. There are many Christians that have been on a journey for many years and still drinking milk, not able to digest meat. Their Christian walk has been dwarfed, as in midgets. You know, they are Christian, but they're little Christians. These Christians are never, you know, they go to church and they hear the word, and I guess it gets stuck in their head. It might not penetrate their heart, and they don't study to make, you know, show themselves approved, and, you know, they're not getting illumination and they're not getting revelation. So the scripture says that they will be ever learning but never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. You see, these people have mere religion without power or spiritual growth. You have to remember, we are not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. And there's no right way to do wrong. You can't say, I'm going to take the word of God and I'm going to only do the first three chapters, because I don't think the next six chapters mean anything. Or I'm going to decide to do the things that I think is necessary to do, and I'm going to leave it all alone. Who are you? You are not afforded the privilege to make it up as you go. And even though you might think you're right, there's no right way to do wrong. You see, a lack of knowledge can destroy us and keep us out of position to receive God's best. And one thing in life we really know, change is inevitable, but growing in the knowledge of God is an option. God does not force himself on anyone. You have to make the choice in choosing. You see, God didn't promise us a rose garden. Some of the pain we may experience is self-inflicted. Okay, you say, Sister Diane, what you talking about that? Self-inflicted. There are some things that's going to just happen and you have no control over. Katrina was one of them. When the waters came, it wet the good people, the bad people, the ugly people, all the people, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It did that. Nobody could stop it. Nobody had no control. Certain things in life is going to be that way, that you have no control. But some of the pain you may be experiencing is self-inflicted because you keep doing what you do whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it, and then you got what you got. And remember, whatever you're sowing, that's the only thing you're going to reap. So if you're sowing evil, you can only reap evil. Some people say, I have no friends. If you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Some people say, I don't never have nothing, because did you ever give something? You can only, whatever you're sowing, that's the only thing you should be willing to gain. And remember this. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what issue of life it is, a general rule of thumbs is when the pain outweighs the pleasure, it's time for a change. When the pain outweighs the pleasure, it's time for a change. You see, the definition of insanity is keep doing things the same way and expecting a different result. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he took away the sins of the world, but he didn't take your consequences. They belong to you. Come on now. There's a reaction for every action. You know, Jesus took away your sins, but you got to live with your consequences. Your consequences belongs to you. And there's a script in the Bible in James 2 and 3 that tell us to count it all joy when we fall into diva, which means different temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And James didn't say in the scripture, if you fall, he says, but when you fall. Come on now. When you fall, count it all joy. Because if you look back over your life, you done had a lot of falls. And through them all, you done came through. The ones you're going to have, it's going to be no different. If you know more, you'll probably come out it quicker. In life, we will have trials, tribulations, and temptation. And if you haven't any yet, just keep living. Just because we love the Lord and the Lord loves us, it doesn't guarantee that we will be exempt from pain. It is never what comes our way, but who we go through it with. James said, count it all joy. Now, I need to tell you something about that joy. You see, joy is the thing that holds up in the midst of the storm. You see, joy eases the pain while you're waiting for the gain. So if you don't have no joy in your life, understand what it is and bring it in your life, because you see what I just said. Joy holds up in the midst of the storm. It eases the pain while you wait for the gain. God will not allow you to be tempted. God will not allow no temptation that is not common to man or too hard for you to bear. What I'm saying is, there's nothing that can happen to you that hasn't already happened to someone else. I know when things are going on in our life, we take it so personal and we have the pity party. And sometimes we feel like this has never happened before, and why me? If not you, then who? But nothing that can happen to you have not already happened to man. And it can, and God will not let nothing too hard for you to bear. Now, you might think you didn't reach your bearing point, but you see, you don't know what's all in you because God created you. You didn't create yourself. And he will always provide a way on time to escape. Now, that's joy. If God said it, he's willing and able to perform it. But you got to trust him. But you have to know him to trust him. You see, patience is a virtue that has been added to your faith to grow, for you to be able to grow in grace. You see, Job is our example of patience. Job received all kind of pain, and while going through, he realized that he was going to. You know, plenty of times people say, oh, I'm going through. It's not always you going through. Sometimes you're just going through what God has for you. But you got to believe it. So Job realized that he was only going to, because there was something brighter and some gain on the way, and he believed it because he believed God. You see, so what he did in the midst of his storm, in the midst of his trials, in the midst of his tribulation, he continued to grow in grace by the knowledge of God that he had received from the word of God, and he waited for his change to come. You see, when the pain ended, the gain was more than enough. You know the story of Job. Because God's grace is sufficient, and sometimes it's only a test. You know, nothing happens unless God orchestrates or allows, because he is always in control of all things, because he's God. God uses or allows trouble to mature his people. No pain, no gain. And this is the good part. There are provided provisions even in our trials and tribulations. Even while you're going through, God has provisions in that time, in that down time. But sometimes we're so down till we can't look up and receive what God has for us. Or we get so downtrodden that we get out of position because we're focusing on the problem and not on the problem solver. You see, everything worth having is worth fighting for. Take your pain and still stand, because God is the overseer. And even when you cannot hear his voice, just trust his plan. For he is God, and yes, he do understand. And you see, in the third chapter of the second Peter, Peter lets us know that Jesus is coming back, and we should live in the hope of his return. And until he does, whatever you need, God's got it. Whatever you want, God's got it. But you must seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, so that all things can be added unto you. When Jesus returns, he will not judge our sins. You see, we're going to all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But at that time, he's not going to judge our sins, because he died and took our sins away, but he's going to be judging our deeds. What he's going to want to know is at that time is what you've been doing with what he has given you. You see, God is a God of purpose, and everybody that's walking on the face of the earth has a purpose. God saw to that. But what are you doing with your time, your resources, and your talent? Remember, no pain, no gain. You don't know what God expects of you if you don't study for yourself. You don't trust anyone you don't know. And you will never truly know who you are I'm going to start that one over because I don't want you to miss this. You will never know who you are until you know who your maker is. You see, we only stewards because everything belongs to God. And y'all know a steward is someone that take care of someone, something that belongs to someone else while they're away. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. We are only stewards because everything belongs to God. And I'm going to ask you the question, what have you been doing for Christ lately? You see, God has given all that you need to receive his approval. If you're not receiving approval of God, evaluate yourself and get yourself in position because you can't receive the things of God if you are out of position. You see, when you were born, if it's 1952, and then whenever you died in 2000 and whatever year, there's a dash in between that. And that dash is your life. And you have to establish and try to create what would you want that dash to say about you. And will Jesus look at that dash, your life, and be able to say, thy good and faithful servant, job well done. And here's the good news. You see, there's another scripture says that the wonderful work that God has began in you, he's able to complete it until the day of Jesus' return. So what he's saying, I ain't going to leave you, and I ain't going to forsake you. I'm going to be here with you now. See that scripture say now and forevermore? And then, all the way through eternity. That's the good news. And I'm going to close with this. We all should remember that this race is not given to the swift, but to the strong. God will never leave you or forsake you. When there is pain, hold on and wait for the gain by growing in grace and the knowledge of God. And remember, if there's no pain, usually there's no gain. But through it all, God will see you through. And that's the lesson for tonight. And if anyone would like to make a comment, anyone would like to ask for prayer requests, anyone would like to give a praise report. In the beginning of the show, a caller pressed the button. I don't know if it was in the error or they wanted to say something at the end, so I'm going to just try it again. Caller 469-688-33. If you would like to say something, your mic is open and you can start talking at this time. If not, I'll close the mic. And it may have happened by error. But if there's anyone who would like to say anything, if you want to make a comment about Jesus, if you want to make a comment about anything. For those that are listening on the internet, on the screen, there's a call-in number. If you call that number, 1-347-945-7659, you will come in the studio, and if you press the one button, I will be able to open the mic and you will be able to talk over the air to the listeners. You know, your comment or concerns could be heard. We have to realize that sometime in life, the things that we are hoping for, you know, it's not happening because sometimes we are out of position. But as we learn from the book of Job, that was not the case with Job. Because you see, God allowed Satan to test Job. Because Job, the devil told God that there was none that was worthy. And, you know, long as they was doing good, they was going to love God. But let him put them through the pressure. Let him put some pain on them. And he was going to see how they was going to hold up then. And God said, well, look at my servant Job. You see, and Job's friends kept telling him, you ain't doing something right. You done did all kind of sins, or your mom and them done did some sins or something, because you got too much pain for to not be cursed, not be having all this problem because you caused problems. Job didn't quite understand it, but he continued to trust God. You see, in the end, all that he lost, God gave him back double and triple, and Job was all right. But he held on to the confession of his faith. And that's what we have to do, because it may be just a test. But if anyone would like to say anything, you can say it at this time. You know, we go on at 8:30. My goal is always to finish at 9:30, and a lot of people love to keep hearing the music. So, of course, you know, we're going to have a prayer, and we're going to end. And I'm going to play some music for anyone. If you would like to make any comments, you could do so. And even after the prayer and the music go forward, if you're still on the line and you would like to say something, you just press the one button. And I'll let you in. But I am so grateful to each and every one of you that called in tonight and those that looked on the internet. It is always a pleasure to come before you as we fellowship in a word together. This is not Diane Adams' Bible study, but it's our Bible study. And I just thank God for the opportunity. So at this time, if anybody would like to pray and give us the benediction prayer, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I will pray, and then I will just play music, and you can stay on the line as long as you like. I pray that everyone enjoyed the lesson. If there's any questions you wanted to know about the lesson or you want any backup scripture, you can press the one button on your phone. And those who have my number, which is 504-289-9501, 504-289-9501, that's the prayer line and that's my number. And you could call anytime for scripture. You could call privately for questions. You could call and ask anything you would like for prayer. We could pray together. We could study together. But that's my number, 504-289-9501. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and pray because it's 9:23. And I always like you to be for us to be finishing an hour. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, I want to thank you for the time that went forth. I want to thank you for every listener and every caller that was tuned into the program tonight. I pray that the Holy Ghost give them illumination and revelation of the word that went forth so that they continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of God. Lord, I thank you for each home that is represented here, dear God. And I may not know all of the needs, dear God, but you do. I hope that their needs be met. I hope that they can grow in you, dear God, and realize who they truly are in you. I thank you for your word, dear God. I thank you for your son, and I thank you for your spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, let this week that comes forth be a great week for everybody. And if it's your will, we'll return back again on next Wednesday. Lord, we are so careful and so honored to give you the praise because you're just so worthy. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart was acceptable in your sight, God. I pray that everyone be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. And that's our lesson for tonight. And at this time, I'm going to play some music. I'll still be in the studio, and if someone would like to speak, you could still press the one button. But I just want you to know, until we meet again, God be with you, and God loves you, and so do I.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. Great and he's greatly to be praised. He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know it's awesome, say,
my God.
Come on and lift your voice.
Of the whole world.
Giver of
salvation.
By his stripes, I'm healed.
My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say, come on and lift your voice and say, somebody ought to celebrate the awesome God.
God be with you until we meet again. Thank you and be blessed.